Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together and chat about what's going on in the heavens and on the earth and what's going on in your chart if you call in or send us an email. My name is Mark Waltz, and I'm in New York City. And also in New York City is...
Ann Ortley, over here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. Enjoying a lovely night in New York where it's beautiful 52 degrees. Yay. Spring is here. Spring is here. Yay.
Feels like April.
It does. finally April. All to the good, all to the good.
At the end of April.
At the end of April, right. Yeah.
And we're hoping to hear from Heather. She's normally with us, Heather Roan Robbins, in St. Paul, Minnesota. But I believe she's traveling.
Yeah. She said she would try and join us, but maybe not make it. So,
right.
So we'll see if she does. So it's cool.
Good. So what's going on in the sky?
Well, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff, actually, this week. We have a full moon, first up, which is always kind of cool. That's on Saturday. And what the full moon is going to be doing is, one, culminating the new moon that we had 2 weeks ago. But more importantly, it takes us back to... the beginning of November in 2010, 2 years ago, when the new moon took place at this degree of 16 Scorpio. So what happens on those bigger cycles is it takes 2.5 years. So there was one in September, one in November, then in August. Last August there was a test. And now we have the full moon, which makes us kind of go, oh, wow, let's figure out how we're going to do it. So that, I love the Scorpio moon. It's a very intense new moon. It's also a very fertile new moon because the sun is in a really fertile sign. The moon's in a really fertile sign. And we kind of look at that and go, wow, you know, cool, really fertile, great. So be careful if you're not trying to make a baby because it always is a good baby-making moon. And it also, because it is a Scorpio moon, it brings to light things that perhaps we haven't dealt with, or perhaps we haven't healed, or perhaps we need to work a little better on somehow. So I find it's an interesting time. So, and what did you notice about that moon?
Well, it's a good one for any kind of seeding and starting of projects of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that spring garden time. So it's the soil is turned and ready, and, you know, whatever we want to see grow, now is the time to put the seed.
Right.
Or plant the bulbs or, you know, whatever we want to put into that soil so that the soil is ready.
Yeah.
And that's what this moon says, is, okay, whatever you put in that soil, I will start it on a good path.
Right.
So it's a good one for that. And then also, as you mentioned, the Scorpio moon does uncover things. And it'll often bring up things that need further healing, you know, a little more peeling of the layers of the onion, just when you thought you had reached the core. It's like, oh, no, it's just another layer.
Right. Wait, so, more? There's more in there?
Yeah, there's more in there.
So I always find it funny when people call and they're, you know, and they've done a Saturn transit that's been a little hard. And then you go, okay, now Saturn now. And they go, what? What more Saturn? I'm like, well, yeah, he's still up there in the sky. You know, he's not gone. He's just moving to a new place. And it's always kind of like, wait, no, huh?
New homework.
Yeah.
New homework. Just proved you're ready for more.
Just proved you were really, you got that last lesson and now you're ready for a new one. Yeah, so he's definitely kind of kicking our butts, perhaps, on the sad day.
That's what that Scorpio full moon will bring in.
Yeah.
It's just really an opportunity to shine even more light, deeper. You can even think of, like, you know, being in the forest under that full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surprising what you can see in a full moon a lot of times.
I know.
Eighth night, but some of these full moons, it's really you can see everything you need to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it does illuminate, or even on the dark moon, when you see all the things up there that are flying around. We also have a couple of things this week with Mercury. He's really busy. He's going really fast, you know, and he's
right.
zipping along, kind of running the back end of Aries. So he's traveling over the path that Saturn's been working on since November and waking them all up. And he's not got necessarily pleasant aspects because Mercury's in a fire sign in Aries, which is known for its frank, plain speaking. So he's going to say some stuff this week that you may find troubling, but that's okay. That's what he's supposed to do, with the idea being that when you're troubled, you might actually listen. or if it's sharp, sometimes maybe he's more known for his sharp tongue, you tend to listen to the sharpness, you know. So what do you think about Mercury being in Aries?
Well, of course, since I have an Aries sun sign, I think that's a terrific place for
you like it,
for
right?
Mercury.
You like it. I like Aries, yeah.
Yeah, it gets things moving. It gets communications moving that, you know, it doesn't take any time for diplomacy. It just says, okay, here's what needs to be said. And then there's a tendency to say it like you're dropping the bomb and then I'm out of here, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Mercury in Aries doesn't have the energy to sit around and resolve things. But it's rather, okay, while we're at it, let me put this out there and that out there and that out there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so there's a lot of the beginning of a lot of conversations and not too much concern about where that conversation's going to go. But it will go somewhere. So, you know, it's just that the energy is to get it underway. And when it resolves, that's, you know, not really the concern right now. So listen carefully, because
mm-hmm.
you're hearing a lot of the start of a lot of conversations.
Right. And also sharpness, you know, it's got a sharp energy to it. One of the things Mercury, get my little sheet of notes here. It's always hiding. Come here, oh, sheet of notes. One of the things Mercury does this week is he has an opposition to Saturn at the same day that he has a semi-square to Chiron. And that's on May 5th, which is the full moon, too. So we feel the energy as he builds up, and he goes towards that. And on May 3rd, he has a sesquiquadrate with Mars, which is, I want to pick a fight with you.
mm-hmm.
So the way I think of this energy is there's, you know, I'm in the mood to argue with you, or you're going to say to me, you know, well, I did all this for you, and Mercury's going to say to you, well, I don't care about that. That's not important to me. Because a lot of times in relationship, especially with Saturn in Gemini's decant, which is where he is now, what we do, you know, and actually a lot of times in relationships we do this. We do it for someone else because we actually want them to do it for us that way. And it's our desire, not necessarily theirs. So Mercury, when he's in this decant, you know, where he's now really kind of going, no, you know, he's going to be in a Sag's decant, which is very frank speaking. He just kind of says, well, that might be important to you, but frankly, I don't really care about that. You know, and Heather always, when she's with us on the show, she always goes, when they say the word frankly, duck, you know, because they really are being frank and you might not like what's coming out of their mouth. So this week with Mercury opposite Saturn and semi-square Chiron in the decant of frank speaking, we may hear words that we actually find a little insulting or a little bit hurtful. But remember, the universe isn't really trying to hurt you here. It's just trying to get you conscious. So if someone says something that hurts your feelings, just kind of go, okay, where's the message of consciousness in that? Where do I – and if you feel like saying something to hurt someone's feelings, finding that message of consciousness is really important.
Yeah, and looking at it as another layer of the onion.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, I didn't realize this was here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, if you're feeling sensitive about something, ask yourself, where is that sensitivity coming from?
Right.
Now is your chance to find out.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the bigger source of it, yeah.
Right. Mm. So it's actually not just what's being said in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but it's scraping a scab, you know, and to a wound that's a little deeper.
Yeah.
And if you go ahead and let that scab get picked off, you know.
And yes, it will bleed a little.
It'll bleed a little, but it's healing.
But it's a good, it's a good blood.
Right.
It might not feel good, but it is good blood. All blood's good
in the
interest of
healing. The wound again.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Get some other gunk out of there and draw the edges of it a little closer together. You're a little closer to finally healing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we always, you know, part of us wants stuff to, you know, just be fixed without having to do the work. And that's one of the beauties and the gifts of astrology is it tells us when it's going to feel better. But it also tells us that part of the job is the work, you know, that we all have Saturn in some sign for a reason, and he kind of describes our work. So when Mercury argues with Saturn, because they're basically normally that, you know, they don't have, Mercury gets along pretty much with everybody. But every now and then, he kind of loses it. And you may find, you know, you're in the mood to lose it this week, or that that someone loses it around you. And then you just kind of have to watch and see what the expectation was. See what the unheard story is. Because that's where the frustration comes from. And on some level, wherever our Chiron is the area where we do feel a little unheard or a little unseen for whatever reason. So that energy getting wounded by Saturn this week and by Mercury this week, we're going to find that we have a little ouch, but it's an ouch to help us clear something, figure out something, grow up, one of those kind of reasons, you know. Never fun, but part of the process. So, what else did you notice about the week?
Let's see. Well, what about our friend Venus?
Our friend's what?
Our friend Venus.
Venus? What's Venus doing up there?
Trying to think. What is the date we get? Well, we know Venus is going retrograde.
Right, she stations in 2 weeks on the 15th. So right this week she roams between 20 and 22. So she's slowing down. She's only going 1 degree every couple of days. And normally she can go up to a degree a day. She can move pretty quick. But she's
right.
A little pokey.
Everybody's watching Venus in a way. And actually we can watch her in the sky.
Literally, go out and look at her. She's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. She was hanging out with the moon a few days ago and couldn't miss it. She was hovering just after sunset,
mm-hmm.
and the moon was right above. And now Venus is still there and hardly changing position from one night to the next.
Right.
And then we'll start seeing her move closer toward the sun.
Yes, because she's stopping. Now when she stops, she stops for a month and a half. And she brings back all matter of things about relationships, money, finances. She allows you to redo things in those areas. And also, of course, she does rule desire and love. So we can find old relationships returning. Certainly, if you broke up with people on the Mars retrograde, this can be when they come back. Or just people can stop by and say, you know, I realized you were really important to me. And you could actually be hearing from them already, but it's a little early, but I did have somebody the other day email me, oh my God, what's going on? I've heard from 3 old boyfriends. I'm like, well, Venus is in her shadow, so she is making us think a lot about our old relations, too. You may find you hear from people or hear about people that you had, you know, Venus relationships with, because she's ready to form some new bonds and to form some new creative energies. So watching her energy as she stops in the sky and gets ready for all of us to go backwards with her for a month and a half.
At the same time, we're getting some asteroids getting ready to go backwards, too.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about those?
There's a lot going on in the feminine energy toward being more introspective and, you know, stopping and looking around, looking backward a little bit. So I think we're going to hear over this next couple of weeks quite a bit about the sort of the feminine perspective. And, you know, I think largely with a sense of, hey, wait a minute, you haven't heard from us.
Right.
You know, what about the feminine side of things?
Right. And which asteroids are those, Mark?
Let's see. I believe Juno is stationing to go reverse, and then Pallas. And there's one other one, isn't it? Vesta?
So they're all going to be going backwards? Yeah. And
yeah.
I'm way behind in my stuff. I haven't even gotten to the asteroids yet. I'm like, really? Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
No.
Three of them, and I think it's those three.
Those three.
But, yeah, they're fixing to go retrograde for a while.
So one is about the seeing the patterns, and the other is about seeing about relationships, and do we want to go back in a relationship or do we want to go forward with new? And then the last is what we want to do about our home situation, our home and hearth, because where we live and what we create and nurture in our own lives and how it takes care of us or it doesn't.
Yeah. And so, the rituals that we observe.
Right, the way we keep track of things and keep track of ourselves. Yeah. We also have this week both Mercury and Venus meet up with Eris. Now, she's one of the new girls out there. You know, Mike Brown has been naming asteroids and or naming planets as he discovers them, as his team discovers them with the Hubble telescope. But he's been picking mean names. So some of the women that he's brought into the pantheon up there are a little more crabbier than others. And one of them is Eris, who's the goddess of discord. She's Mars's sister. And she was the one that started the Trojan War. And what she did by, you know, causing, she wasn't invited to a party, and she decided to spoil the fun by, you know, throwing the apple in and saying, it's for the most beautiful goddess, whoever that might be. Not that I'm going to pick, ha ha. And, you know, Zeus catching it as a potential problem, especially because his wife wanted it, said, oh, I think I'm going to pass on this one and let the shepherd guy, Paris, figure it out, and he did, and he picked love, and of course it was a married woman, and thus the war began. But when the Trojan War ended, one of the things that happened was there was, you know, everybody kind of went, wow, you know, the war is over, what are we going to do? That's what we've been doing all these years, all these months. And so this week, when Eris meets Venus and Mercury both, she's talking to them because she's in Aries. So you may find that jealousy or discord kind of seems to pop out of no place. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? And it's tied to kind of an understanding of, for lack of a better word, a new direction that needs to come for you or about for you, maybe is a better way to say it. And that, you know, Eris always gives us a sense of dissatisfaction. But the dissatisfaction acts as a motivator, helps us change. So I kind of like her in a sense. I mean, she's not a particularly pleasant energy. And certainly when we feel all irritated and discordant, most of us don't like it. But it does get us clear about stuff. Envy, jealousy, some of those less quote-unquote pleasant or quote-unquote evolved emotions, they help us because we see something we hadn't seen, and we go, wow, you know, now I get it. I understand how I'm supposed to use that, even if I don't really know what I want to do with it. So they both meet with, both Mercury and Venus meet up with Eris as they're traveling in. Venus sextiles her, and Mercury joins with her. What have you noticed about Eris, Mark? Because she's kind of new. And I know in my clients, she's really... you know, she shows up kind of, she's a mean little girl, but she definitely makes packs an impact and helps people really notice things.
Yeah. I'm going to answer that in a minute, and first I'm going to make a correction. For some reason I was thinking retrograde on these asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that. They're not actually, the ones I mentioned aren't going, well, Juno is retrograde, but the others is that they're changing sign.
Oh, okay, changing sign.
They're getting ready to change sign.
Okay.
So Pallas is going to go into Aries in another couple of weeks. And Juno, which is retrograde, is going to go into Scorpio.
Okay.
And Vesta is changing into Taurus from Aries.
Okay. Changing.
So that's the energy. It's changing.
The change of the shifting of the energy, okay, more than going back.
And then Eris, that is a tricky one. We're still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with a sense of discord, and it's based on a very deep dissatisfaction, and the lesson in it is the lesson of letting go of the dissatisfaction, which is an obstacle. It's one of the biggest obstacles we can have in life is to be dissatisfied. And I'm sorry to say, but we will all have people in our lives that we recognize are sitting and holding on to dissatisfaction. And if we're not careful, we can hold on to dissatisfaction in a very justified way. In other words, we're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're right to be dissatisfied, God damn it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. We're totally right, and we have been disappointed by something. Things were not what they were promised to be, and we often couldn't do anything about it. We were having to rely on other people for it, and they didn't come through, and it's terrible. But if we want to, we can sit and hold on to that for the whole rest of our lives and go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson is, let it go.
Right.
You couldn't help it at the time. It's beyond your control, and you have to let it go. It's never going to be what you wanted it to be. And if you hold on to it, it's an obstacle to going forward.
Right.
If you say, well, some things are that way, and just turn a corner and keep moving. You know, that's really what it's about. And Eris doesn't want to do that. Eris wants to keep putting it in somebody's face.
Right. Keep reminding you how bad it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Over and over and over.
Yeah.
It isn't right. It wasn't right. It won't be right.
They screwed you. They gypped you. They took advantage of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, and they did. Yeah, they did. You know, acknowledge
all
it.
All you can do when it's an Eris situation, you really, all you can do is agree with the person that, yes, you absolutely were gypped, and there was nothing you could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can let it go, you know they'll be back next week with the same story.
Right.
If they can let it go, then, you know, they won't look there for satisfaction.
And they'll give up waiting for it to change. You know, a lot of times people are like, well, I'm just going to stay here until it changes. And it's like,
right.
You really want to do that? You know, like, what if it never changes? Or I'm going to hang on to that resentment until such time as, ba-bam, you know. And it's like, you know, you may be there a really long time. Because Eris relies on our inability to let stuff go when we've felt wronged.
Sure.
And
think,
that's
think
how she
slowly
hooks
Eris is crawling through the zodiac.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, she goes like 10,000. She takes 10,000 years to go around the zodiac, and she's in the sign of Aries, guys, for the next 10,000 years, you know, or whatever. Not that long, but
whatever. Longer than anyone.
Longer than any of us will be alive, right? So, and you know, so, and truly, a lot of these things, you know, are ages old. You know, the blood. You know, that family ruined my family, or that tribe ruined my tribe. There's generations of people remembering the injustice done, as opposed to saying, okay, how do we resolve the conflict? How do we release it and move on? rather than letting it poison our life forever. You know, if I'm living in a state of grudge. Pardon?
It becomes a poison when, you know, when you keep bringing it up over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we all have people that do it. Well, you knew when I had this happen, and then. And you listen to the story, and it becomes the ending of, you know, I had somebody I was talking to the other day, and I said, well, you know, we were talking about her son, and I said something, and she said, well, you know, her husband had had this thing happen, and then he had basically kind of given up at that point. And that was it. He was done. He wasn't moving any forward. He wasn't changing. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's like a pretty big, you know, that was the end of his life, essentially. You know, it's, he stopped living at that point. And it does happen,
and
you know, and we see
yeah,
it. But
and
we
the story behind it is always justified.
Yeah.
Left treated you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. But what are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Yeah, you're faced with a choice. You either hold on to that, or you just say, I have to do something totally different,
mm-hmm.
or I have to get over this.
Right.
You know, I either get over it and continue doing the same thing because that's what I want to do, but I do it in a different way,
mm-hmm.
and I look to other people for support.
Right.
Or I change fields entirely and just say, you know what, that one didn't work out. I'm going to do something else, but
right.
I'm not going to let my whole lifetime go by just holding on to a grudge or a disappointment. So anyway, that really is what Eris is about, and it's a very serious energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she reminds us how much time we can spend on the bad parts of our life, you know.
Yeah.
We did have an email from a reader, which we're running towards the end of time on, but I thought maybe we could just quickly talk about it. Her name is Rose, and she said, I'm a Cancer with an Aries or Taurus rising and a Cap moon. I'm concerned about Pluto and Leo in the fifth. I feel like I have, figuratively speaking, done some hard time most of my life, but I also feel that I've learned my lessons and evolved. How long does it take to get past painful placements in one chart? When can I look forward to now making things less painful? And her birthday is June 28th. 2/8/1953 at 1:15 in the morning in Brooklyn. So when I look at Rose or Roz's chart, she kind of wrote under both names. She does have Pluto in the fifth, and Aries rising. So with Saturn in the seventh now, saying, okay, I'm ready to change up my structure around relationships, going back 14 years to time and coming. And also she has a moon in Capricorn, which says, that moon in Capricorn opposite Uranus squaring the Saturn-Neptune forms what's called a T-square, Roz, and that energy shoots out into your first house. Now, one of the things that happens with your chart, because you're a Sun-Mars conjunct in Cancer, is that you have a very strong energy around remembering. And because the moon is in Capricorn high, there can be an ability to remember to the bad part, rather than to remember to the happier parts. And you know, kind of almost a repetition, you know, you're going to say over and over again. And I didn't really realize it until we were talking about Eris today, that, you know, yeah, you're one of those people that has to say, hey, you know, made a mistake, had a hard time, how do I change that thinking? Because Mercury rules your third house and is on the south node in Leo, there can be a repetition over and over about what I did wrong or what I didn't do right or what I did. And maybe what the best way to look at this is to say, let's reframe that story. Let's come up with some positive stuff, get some Louise Hay books, and start talking positive affirmation to yourself and saying, okay, let's come up with a better way of working with this, viewing this, dealing with this. You had your second Saturn return. You're supposed to let the past go and release it to understand that it served its purpose of teaching you, but you don't have to carry it with you anymore. Mark, do you have any comments on it?
And yeah, I saw a comment today. Somebody put, if you get a call from the past, send it on to voicemail because it's got nothing new to tell you.
I like that. Right.
But that for Cancer, Mars, Sun.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm. In the third house
really
where I beat myself
thing.
Up. Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah. That's real important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's from the past, you know, at this point in your don't dwell on it. Mm-hmm. Do not dwell. Start a new chapter. Mm-hmm. And figure you got what lessons you're going to get from most of these things. And don't hang on to them.
Right.
There's a lot ahead of you. Just lighten up. Let go.
Let it go. I mean, a lot of times
Saturn return says you can let go of a lot of things that are just not going to be finished.
That aren't part of you. Right. And you're also starting a new Jupiter cycle. This year you have a new what's called a Jupiter return. So we start a new 12-year cycle in the house of what's of value and important to you. So this is a really excellent time as Venus goes back and forth in that Gemini house over how you think about yourself and how you talk about yourself to yourself and over what's of value to you, to kind of look at that and come up with a new definition for the next 12 years. Certainly our past shapes us and forms who we are, but then we also have the option to adjust it and shift and understand that those lessons, that legacy, was given to us for a reason, meaning what we do with it, the old saying of making lemons out of it. I don't think it's so much your Pluto in the fifth. Pluto in the fifth just makes it be kind of an all or nothing thing, but I think it's more the retentiveness and the repetition. If you think of the river of the Sun and Mars, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon or seen pictures of it, that whole canyon was cut with water, dug through the sand, all those layers, thousands and thousands of moving, years of moving water through that. And so what can happen with water in the third house is it can cut a deep rut in your mind. So you have to say, wow, I can really keep going down that route, or I can maybe try and go a different route, maybe build a dam or do some other thing to prevent the water from flowing and digging it deeper. And, controlling that process a little bit so that it isn't as disruptive, perhaps, as it has been up until now. So, and then with that, the British lady spoke.
Out of time.
Yep.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. This is Access Astrology. Mark Waltz in New York, and also
Ann Ortley in New York at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. And it's 52 degrees. It's spring. And tomorrow's May Day. I forgot about May Day. It's Beltane. So you're supposed to dance naked outside under the lilac trees or have sex or have fun because it's the beginning. We're at the halfway mark between spring and summer. It's going to be summer sooner than later. And if you don't want to dance naked, that's okay. You can dance with your clothes on. But it is May. It's the May Day, the lusty month of May. So at least buy yourself a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, that's the minimum.
Right, If you can't dance naked under the lilac tree, buy yourself some flowers. All right, so take care.
Okay.
See you all next week. And Mark and I are at East West at 6 o'clock this week. This month, 6 to 7. Just a slight time shift, and that's on 5th Avenue between Madison and 5th on 30th Street.
Okay,
bye.
Bye now.
Did I say East West or Open Center?
Open Center,
yeah, whatever. Mercury's in Gemini. Yeah, go with it. Okay. Open Center, 6 o'clock Tuesday nights. Take care. Bye. Good. See you next week.